You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
P for public, P for private, and P for partnership. Put them together and you have a P3 project. And P3 is precisely how the BC government intends to construct the Gateway project. Eric Doherty is chair of SPEC's Transportation and Land Use Committee. He opposes Gateway, among other reasons, because it is a P3. And he's joined me in the studio to explain why privatization and tolling of the Trans-Canada Highway section from Langley to Vancouver is wrong-headed. Good morning, Eric, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Good morning, Mordecai.
Are there other highway schemes in BC that have also been constructed on a P3 model?
Yeah, the Sea to Sky Highway project, the expansion for the Olympics, is being done right now as a P3 project. And it's been criticized because of that.
And I understand the Coquihalla, which was an entirely public government project, there was some effort to transfer that, some aspects of that later, into a P3?
Yes, the government announced that they were going to privatize the Coquihalla and make it a P3 concession. And people in the interior were so upset about that and so vocal about it that the government backed down very quickly.
Now, the P3, obviously, when it's promoted, has a rationale. What does the government put forward as its main rationale for this kind of organizing of the construction and operation?
Well, governments used to say that they save money on P3, so they would actually, the private sector was more efficient and all sorts of things like that. But it's been shown just not to be the case over and over and over again. Governments just end up paying more money for less well-thought-out projects, and they also end up with a whole host of other problems that make planning and the rational use of public resources very difficult. What the government is doing now with P3s is just using them largely as a way to hide the debt that they're taking on, billions and billions of dollars of debt, rather than being on the public books. It's hidden off to the side as P3 contract obligations.
So, in effect, it's not saving money, it's just hiding expenses until you wake up with a headache.
Yeah, it's a way of pretending that you haven't borrowed all these billions of dollars. You're pretending that that some company has just given you billions of dollars, kind of like one of those internet scams that you get every week.
So is it that they've become so common that there's not really much need any longer to stress the initial ruse of saving money?
Yeah, well, the initial ruse has largely been discredited. It really has been shown in so many hundreds of projects around the world that it doesn't save money. And it's just... it's just not a credible explanation anymore.
Now, the government is creating, a new crown corporation, which is exclusively related to this project. Why is that necessary, or what is the purpose of that particular structure?
The purpose of this appears to be to guarantee, just a structure to guarantee the loans, because the private companies are now, the private consortium that are now trying to go out and borrow money on these projects, are now finding it very difficult to borrow money in the long term because of the financial crisis in the USA. And they were getting a lot of these projects rated AAA, the borrowing, when there really wasn't much behind them. So for the same reason that it's now a little bit harder to get a mortgage, it's now a little bit harder for these P3 companies to get a mortgage on a P3 freeway. So the government has created a crown corporation so that you and I can be responsible for anything that goes wrong.
So it's an interesting evolution then. We start by saying we're saving money. It's proven we're not saving money. It's almost conceded that we're not saving money by the proponents of it. So they set up another corporation and government to guarantee the debt of the people they're giving the profit to in the construction of the project.
Yeah, because one of the original rationales for P3s was that the private sector would take on the risk. Well, in this case, you're creating a crown corporation to take on the risk, so that risk is blatantly being transferred back to the public.
To the project itself, now a major criticism of Gateway has been that regardless of how it's constructed, it won't decrease car traffic flow and present plans. It might even increase it in some way. So what way does the P3 impact on this whole question of the amount of car use that's going to occur on the section from Langley through to Vancouver?
The provincial government, in their climate change strategy, they've identifying reducing the amount that people drive. The vehicle kilometers traveled is the jargon. They've identified that as a key part of their greenhouse gas reduction strategy. So in going forward into the future, the government has committed to reducing the amount that we drive. What this does, you know, even if this was a public project, it'd be a very bad project because urban freeways always induce traffic. They always induce suburban sprawl. They cause more pollution. They create a more automobile-dependent region. The added thing that's worse with a P3 project is that in the future, if the government does anything effective, anything at all effective, to get us out of our cars, to make it more affordable and convenient to take transit, then the company can sue the government, can sue us for lost revenue, because they'll be getting less toll revenues for people driving over the Portman Bridge on the Trans-Canada Highway. And it's kind of a very twisted thing, because what the government is proposing to do is to toll an existing bridge and the Trans-Canada Highway, which happens to be the lowest income commuter stream in the region for people who are driving, because this is largely people coming from Langley and Surrey, fairly low-income areas overall, and going into Coquitlam, Burnaby, Vancouver, and it's going to be costing these people in the range of $1,200 to $2,000 a year just for tolls. And if they're working a job where they don't have flexibility, which a lot of lower income people do, they may be paying a lot more because this private concessionaire may be raising the tolls at peak periods.
And the government then is guaranteeing a certain revenue to the private builder from the toll, or the person who has the toll concession, guaranteeing them a certain revenue, and if that's not met because of more public transit, for example, then they have to still pay what is in that contract.
Exactly. And that's the same thing for the Sea to Sky Highway project. The revenue is nominally tied to traffic flows. But in reality, the government just has to cut a check every year to the company for the full term of the contract, which is normally in the range of 30 to 40 years.
Wow. Now, we have a toll bridge then on Portman. And how would that affect alternate routes or traffic direction flow? Is that going to increase people trying to avoid the tolls going some other way, and truckers, for example? How will that impact what happens?
The biggest effect this will have is a huge increase in traffic on the Patello Bridge, and that means large flows of trucks going through New Westminster, through downtown New Westminster, and through residential areas of Surrey. What's been found in the USA is when they've raised tolls or they've imposed tolls, the most cost-sensitive drivers are truck drivers, because they've got their calculators out and they're figuring out exactly how much per hour it's going to cost them. And at off-peak times, early mornings, Saturdays, midday, they always take the cheaper route, the non-tolled route. and it results in quite a number of fatalities, injuries, and no one has really calculated the health impacts of this, because you're taking trucks off of a freeway, which is a little ways away from residential areas, and putting it right in front of people's new apartment buildings where they've bought condos, and then going through downtown New Westminster, a very low-income residential area.
Hmm. And, of course, the Patala Bridge has its own hazards with existing traffic flow, let alone with increased truck traffic.
Yeah, it's a narrow, older bridge, and increased truck traffic is going to result in increased problems, increased accidents, and everything that goes along with that.
So the government might choose to resolve that by tolling and privatizing the Patala. In other words, compounding the misery that they've started with the Port Mann.
Well, what the regional district has proposed is either tolling none of the bridges across the Fraser or all of them. And this actually makes sense. You either toll all of them so that people still take the most direct route, or you toll none of them so people take the most direct route. Mm. Otherwise, you're ending up with people rat running, is what it's trying to get around the tolls.
Now, I understand there's a strange Iraq connection with P3. Could you explain a bit about that?
Yeah, the whole situation in Iraq came about partly because the Bush administration fabricated evidence of weapons of mass destruction and all this kind of thing. They fabricated studies. And what they discovered was that their government employees weren't willing to be completely ridiculous in their lies. So the Bush administration went out to contractors that are basically more willing to massage and manipulate information, according to Naomi Klein's account of this situation. And they created all these great stories. In this case, the Minister of Transportation has gone out to a multinational corporation, CH2M Hill, to coordinate and monitor the Gateway Program's technical work. So they're supervising the other contractors that are doing the studies, the cost-benefit analysis, all this work. And lo and behold, they've created all these studies that show that Gateway, this freeway expansion, is wonderful. And all the studies are absolutely ridiculous. They're far, far lower quality than anything that you would normally see coming out of the public sector. And not to say that all the public sector studies for highways are good, but these are just ridiculous. And the federal government has referred to the studies as inappropriate and basically said that these studies are a pile of crap.
How is that connected to Iraq? You've drawn a parallel, but is there any actual direct connection with what's happening in Iraq?
Yeah, CH2M Hill was the main company in charge of supervising the contracts for the reconstruction of Iraq. So they oversaw this, the reconstruction of Iraq, which is universally known as a fine example of corruption, ineptitude, and a complete failure. They're also one of the few companies that Naomi Klein, in her book, The Shock Doctrine, uses as example of disaster capitalism companies that are creating disasters and profiting from them. For instance, CH2M Hill has also been involved in tsunami relief in Sri Lanka, and basically their work there has been to displace people who they're supposed to be helping, supposedly, to displace people away from waterfront property in favor of large resort developers. They're one of the companies that very strong supporter of the Republican Party. Blackwater gives 100% of their donations to the Republican Party. Halliburton, about 87%. and CH2M Hill about 70%. So they're right in there with that group of war profiteers. And they're now have a big contract to do urban planning for the Green Zone in Baghdad.
Well, what a high recommendation that is for construction of highways in British Columbia.
Yeah, and I'd actually like to say that that doesn't say anything about the competence of the employees of this company. You know, companies like Enron, they always have lots of good, well-meaning employees. It's the people at the top. It's the structure of the company that. And the way that they're contracted to do things that leads people to basically be doing destructive things.
Well, thanks very much, Eric, for explaining the aspects of the P3 and the Gateway Project.
Thank you. And I just wanted to, as always, mention our website, www.spec.bc.ca, and lots more information on the Gateway program there. Thank you.
Okay. I've been speaking with Eric Doherty. He's chair of the Transportation and Land Use Committee of SPEC, which stands for Society for Promoting Environmental Conservation. And as he said, their website is spec.bc.ca.